It's Wednesday on Locked On NHL. Coming up, how have the New York Rangers been able to go on such a hot streak, jumping up into the top three in the Metropolitan Division? And when teams rise, others fall, the wild card race is getting extremely close and uncomfortable for certain teams. Who are they? We'll get into all that. And plus, with Locked On Leafs and Locked On Sens get together, you know we have to take a pulse on what's going on in Ontario. This is the Locked On NHL Podcast. It's your team every day.
Or Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On NHL for this Wednesday, February 15th. I'm Ross Levitan from Locked On Senators with Dave Morisuti from Locked On Leafs. Mike DiStefano on the IR. He'll be back next week. But of course, we had to keep things in Ontario. If you're new to Locked On NHL Podcast Network, welcome. We have local experts on the biggest stories 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, and every Wednesday, it's all things Eastern Conference. David, how have the Leafs been doing? What are you guys talking about over on Locked On Leafs?
Well, for us, it's basically still struggling to pick up wins against teams that they should be able to beat after they beat the Columbus Blue Jackets, then lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets. So it's been one of those times in Leafland, but obviously everyone's kind of into the whole trade foray involving the Leafs and the fact that they're not so comfortable right now in terms of their position in the Atlantic. They just got bumped out of second place by the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they're in a position right now where they're going to have to battle for that home ice advantage in the first round.
On Locked On Sens, it is silly season with trades. You mentioned it as well. It's mock armchair GM season. Extraordinaire. That's where the real experts come out online on Twitter typically. But Dave Pagnotta from the Fourth Period mentioning Mackenzie Wieger's name and still being attracted to Ottawa. He just signed an 8-year extension with Calgary. So could a player like that really be on a move with a team that has playoff aspirations? 8 more years after this one, but he is a top flight defenseman. So with a grain of salt, a very large grain of salt. We spoke about that today on Locked On Sens. But this is Locked On NHL, and it's brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the official sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network. And you can go there right now to make every moment more. It's FanDuel.com/LockedOnNHL. The real story in the Eastern Conference, David, and I think this is really under-talked about, which I'm surprised because the New York Rangers are playing the biggest market in North America, but I feel like they're going under the radar as a team that's got the longest win streak in the Eastern Conference at 5 games and are 22-2 in their last 24. They've already added Vladimir Tarasenko. Is this a team that you expect to, now they've already gotten into the top three with the Metropolitan, could they be fighting for home ice come playoff time?
I mean, going into the season, they were my pick to go to the Cup final and win it. I thought, you know, if they made strides last year, we saw them how far they went in the playoffs. They got the goaltender. They got the talent. They have a really good blue line. Now they just added Vladimir Tarasenko to really up, you know, how many goals they can score. You know, Artemi Panarin's coming off a 4-goal game against the Carolina Hurricanes, who don't usually allow teams to pump them like the Rangers did, you know, recently. So yeah, they're a team that I think many were sleeping on just because they went through those struggles, but they went through it at an early point in the season where I feel like now they're kind of getting their legs under them. Alexi Lafreniere's kind of bounced back from being a healthy scratch, and now they're trending up, in my opinion. And there are some teams, if I'm the New Jersey Devils, I'm a little worried about, you know, a team like the Rangers, who have, I think, the better roster on paper. And, you know, the Devils they were riding a little bit too much of that hot start to start the year. Now they could be in trouble facing a very tough Rangers in the first round, especially if they lose home ice.
Oh, especially, man, because you look at the Rangers team has so many ways to beat you. They went on that bad losing skid in November that kind of carried a little bit into December. They were a 500 team, nothing special. We thought they'd be battling for the wild card spot. They actually had an even goal differential in their first 26 games, exactly even. Well, how about their next 27? You're looking at a team that scored almost 60 more goals than their opposition. They are burying teams. They've got the goaltending in Igor Shesterkin, and we knew that, and we know their top-end guys are going to produce, the Panarins and Zibanejad and Adam Fox. They're going to do their damage both on the power play and at even strength. But the line that's impressed me is the kid line with Kaapo Kakko, Philip Hedel, and sometimes they mix in. I'm blanking on the third guy who plays. Oh, Lafreniere, of course, the first overall pick in 2020, who everyone looks, especially in my market in Ottawa, it's like, oh, Tim Stützle's already 141 points. And we'll get to Timmy, man. Superstar for sure. But Lafreniere's 21 years old, and he's still finding his way. I still have a ton of confidence, and that line has been a huge reason for the Rangers' success. Now, the question is, David, is can an inexperienced line like that, or maybe I should stop myself because they do have playoff experience over the last couple, but Philip Hedel, I mean, 22 points plus 12 in his last 27, 15 goals over that span. He was a guy who was in trade rumors for the acquisitions they make. They end up avoiding that level of prospect in the Tarasenko deal, but they're probably pretty glad they hung on to him, hey?
Yeah, I mean, trading a first overall pick after a couple of years, some teams generally don't walk away on the right side of those deals. I think back to the Edmonton Oilers when, you know, how many of those first overall picks are still with the team after all those years? You know, the Bruins when they made the trade with Tyler Seguin. Usually those teams don't make out like bandits in those deals as many believe to be. And, you know, every other NHL team will say, yeah, we'll gladly make that deal now because the Rangers are definitely not thinking in the right frame of mind, especially when the coach is scratching the player and teams are vultures. They see the carcass and they want their chance to pick at it. But, you know, the Rangers, and it's funny because how many players have asked out of New York, and I find that always odd how many players ask out of New York, and yet Rangers always seem to find a way to not only do well in the deal, but have another young guy just ready to take that player's place.
The Rangers are 5 points back of the New Jersey Devils right now, and there's plenty of time for them to keep on closing that gap. The Devils and Rangers both with 7 wins though in their last 10 games. So they haven't necessarily caught any ground just yet, but that's going to be a battle I'm watching. And how great of a first round matchup would that be, Dave? If we get New Jersey versus New York, the battle of the Hudson River, give it to me in the first round.
Oh, that's a favorite. Like the New York teams, whether it's the Islanders, the Devils, and then the Rangers, like those three teams hate each other. You ever watch how the fans kind of interact after the games? Like there is a true hate between these fan bases. And like, that's probably the benefit of doing the playoff. I'm sure you've talked about the playoff format and the complaints.
We don't talk about playoffs on Locked On Sense. What's it like?
But like the playoff format has been such a big discussion, but this is part of the reason that they did this. Is you have a greater chance of seeing the Rangers and the Islanders and the Devils. If they're all in the playoff mix, good chance they're going to see each other at some point in the playoffs. And this is exactly the reason why, because there is an appetite to see that. And I would definitely love to see that.
Oh, many hockey fans would. Coming up next, we'll tell you where these teams are in the standings, how much of a gap separates third in both the Metropolitan and Atlantic Division with the next teams that are vying for wild card positions. Is it safe, or could we see a lot of shuffling in the final 30 games of this marathon NHL season? But first, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook. Head there at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Get started today. There's plenty of exciting things to tell you about our new sports betting partner at Locked On. New customers in the U.S., if you join today, you start with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. A couple bets we're tracking right now at FanDuel is Austin Matthews making his return tonight to the Toronto Maple Leafs lineup. Will he record 2+ points and 4+ shots on goal? David, you rolling with that one?
I mean, considering that they just boosted those odds right now, I mean, Austin Matthews coming back from injury, he usually does very well. not only that, 4+ shots, he can do that in one period. That's how good Austin Matthews is. So against a Blackhawks team that is not very good, got shut out by the Montreal Canadiens. I like those odds, especially if Peter Mrazek is in the net.
Those odds are at 325, plus 325 right now, up from plus 265. That you can find at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. So don't miss out. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports book of the NFL and of the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On NHL, it's your team every day. Thank you for making us your first listen. And for your second listen, head over to Locked On Leafs or Locked On Rangers. We just talked about the New York Rangers. Well, John Chick has you covered Monday through Friday on the Locked On Rangers podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm also going to be tuned in all across our channel, Locked On NHL, because they are local experts on the biggest stories, and there are some enormous stories when it comes to the wild card race and just how tight things are getting. I'm not ready to say the P word. We joke about how Ottawa is so far out, but the Sens have won 6 of 7. The Red Wings have won 3 in a row. They've won 6 of 10. At least the teams who felt like they were completely out of it are making it a pipe dream for their fans. At least being able to say, we're going to win. Like, obviously, when you go down to Montreal, congrats, they've won 3 in a row as well. But they're still 12 points out. Now these other teams, like Detroit, finds themselves 6 points out. The Sens are 7 points out of the playoff. It sounds like a lot, and it's in all likelihood will be a lot. Senators plus 1,800 at FanDuel right now to make the playoffs, if you're crazy.
If you're crazy, that's the bet. My number one rule, you bet with this, not with. I'm trying to point to my heart here, not with this. So I usually use my brain. But if you truly believe, and if your brain can talk you into it, go right ahead.
You know what I told Mark Mathod, who joins Locked On Senators all the time? I said, you assholes for the Hamburglar run, you made our delusions validated. You made me think that 13 points out in February is easy. It's not.
Oh, well, I was... I remember, I will never forget that run. I'll never forget it.
It was amazing. And certainly the Senators in a bit of a precarious situation right now with their third and fourth goalies getting ice time. But let's start with the teams who matter most, the teams that are top three in their divisions. If you're watching on YouTube, we've pulled up the NHL standings right now. And there is a 7-point gap between the New York Rangers and Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm almost ready to declare that the race for the Metropolitan is 3 horses, and that's it. Are you convinced that Pittsburgh or Washington could potentially make that jump?
Like, I know Pittsburgh's been doing well lately, but no, I can't see either one getting... Like, I know Washington was on that crazy run earlier in the year when Charlie Lindgren came in for Kemper, and he was unbeatable, but just think about that. They went on that great run. Now they find themselves in the second wild card. I think it just speaks to the fact that the three teams, the Rangers, the Hurricanes, and the Devils, all play with the consistency. And you look at their goal differential, all of them are over plus 30 in their goal differential. To me, that just speaks to the consistency those teams play with. I can't see either of those teams dropping down at this point. Something catastrophic would have to happen to those three teams.
And you'd probably say the same in the Atlantic.
Yeah, exact same thing, right? Like, there's a reason why, you know, the Leafs could go on, you know, a 3-game losing streak, but they've built up so much of their credit from earlier in the year that to expect any other team in the Atlantic to get into that race, it's just not believable, in my opinion. Like, 12 points is a lot. That's, I think, what the Panthers are behind right now. That's a lot of points. And if you're...
The Leafs and Lightning both have 3 games and 4 games in hand, respectively.
Exactly, right? So the points percentage is always the big one there, right? I mean, if you look, the Leafs are at 0.667. I feel like that's a bit of a Someone's putting that out as a joke at the NHL to have a 67 at in the Leafs points percentage there. I don't know if you caught on that run, Ross. But yeah, I mean, none of the other Atlanta teams are close to being at a 600 points percentage. Like, there, I know that a lot of people want to have faith in the other teams making it to the playoffs. It's going to have to be in that wild card. That's where the, and that's what makes the wild card so exciting versus in past years in the old format where some teams would miss out even if they had, you know, or they would miss out on certain standings just because they didn't have a better record.
I think the most intriguing part of how they do the schedule right now is the games in hand factor. There is a 5-game split between Detroit and Florida. That's enormous. You can make up 10 points in that span. So you really do have to look at the points percentage in Buffalo and Detroit, rather, both at a 538 points percentage with 52 games played versus 56 for Washington, 57 for both the Islanders and Florida Panthers. If there's a team in the wild card race that you're putting some money on at FanDuel responsibly, who's a team you think right now on the outside looking in, but has the best chance to get in over Washington and Pittsburgh? Because as we've discussed, and fans can feel free to disagree, I don't think that there's going to be any movement from the teams who are in the top three into this wild card. We can just zoom right in on the wild card and focus all our attention with those teams. Two are getting in and five aren't.
To me, I think there's a good opportunity here for the Buffalo Sabres. And the reason why I say that, I think there's room for their goaltending to get better. I also think they have, out of all the other teams, they have a lot of flexibility and a lot of assets. If they really want to go on a run for this year, they can make a big swing at the trade deadline. They could be a dark horse team that not a lot of people are looking at. The Islanders made the Horvat deal. They just lost to the Ottawa Senators and were unable to beat Kevin Mandolese. I don't know which one he prefers.
Mandolese.
Yes. They want the full Italian. He wants the full Italian. We'll give him the full Italian. We got no problem with that. But like that's what I'm saying. The Islanders, they make the Horvat deal. How many more bullets do they have in their chamber to improve the team? Because I don't think the Horvat deal would be enough to put them over the top. So I kind of like Buffalo just because I think that they have you know, a higher ceiling than some of these other teams here.
Well, in years to come, they're for sure going to be one of the most dangerous teams. I'm just curious how many chips Kevin Adams pushes into the middle of the table right now, or waits until maybe next year when they're more primed to go beyond having to play either Carolina or Boston in the first round. That doesn't sound like an easy task, even for a team that can score with the best of them. I just think that maybe in one or two more years of maturity for that team, you really look at saying, okay, now our assets are still here. Like, they had 3 first round picks in this past draft. Like, it's not like they're worried about aging out of their prospects where maybe their value isn't still at its peak. They have so many pieces that they've acquired through, I mean, it's been a 10-year rebuild. You hope that eventually you can get the pieces to the puzzle here. They haven't made the playoffs since 2007. One round. I think they made it once and maybe and got swept or something. But Sabres fans, let me know, because they tune into this show. They're as passionate as any fan in the National Hockey League. And I want them to do well, but you look at how Dahlin sure was good, but look how great he is now. Like, I want Power to have that same, like, one or two more years for him, and he'll still be on his entry level for one more after this one. I know he burned a year, the classic college move to get it your next contract quicker, but still, you have next year, I think, is when you start pushing more if you're the Buffalo Sabres. Nice story, though, but I think they need to graduate maybe one of those goalie prospects, either Uka Pekka Luukkonen, who's obviously closer, or Devin Levy, who's just doing unbelievable NCAA, putting up records for Northeastern University. I'll close. I mean, my portion of what I'm thinking, I think the Islanders are on the outside looking in. I just don't see them. Usually it's the teams that can, like that's why Buffalo, it's you feel like when push comes to shove and you have more pressure on you, that's when you want to have more offensive weapons. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. New York, they can clamp down, but as the rest of the teams clamp down, I feel like the gap between good and great shrinks, Whereas the teams who still have that offensive, like one shot, one kill mentality can make up a bit of ground. Ottawa's perfect example. The game against Calgary on Monday, they're down 2 goals late in the game. They have no business winning that game, but instinct kicks in with the goalie pulled and you have two snipers who put the puck in the back of the net. And all of a sudden you get lucky in overtime and you win the game. So I feel like that's why you're seeing the teams that have that offensive flair, because we know the game tightens up after the All-Star break, right? Across the NHL, goal scoring goes down a touch. You don't have these marathon, like 5-4, 6-5 games as often. So I'm going to keep an eye on the teams that I know can score goals, and that's the Florida Panthers, the Buffalo Sabres. And yeah, I'm going to be a homer too. I'll say the Sens will. I think they'll probably finish. A successful season would be probably third, but I think fourth or fifth in the wild card race isn't out of the question and would make, I think, a lot of people confident going into the summer. But out of those, let's put it this way to you as a conclusion, because look at all the Atlantic teams piled together. It goes Florida, Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa, one after another. How do you think the season ends among those four teams?
I think the Senators can make a push up the standings based on what we've seen the last few weeks here. I think Detroit, unless they do something at the deadline, they might be a team that I see regress a little bit here. And look, we already know Steve Eisen believes that the team has no chance to make the playoffs. He'll look to sell off some assets and improve Detroit's chances.
Like Tyler Bertuzzi. I know our friends over at Locked On Red Wings are talking about him. The real question in Detroit is, what do you do with Larkin, Dylan Larkin, your captain, still not having a contract? And we know Steve Yzerman, when he draws a line in the sand, that's where he's going to stay most times. Nikita Kucherov got 9-5 out of him after a tight negotiation, but I don't think anybody's fooling themselves that Dylan Larkin is Nikita Kucherov, despite the fact that he's the leader and captain of that team. So I'm curious to watch how that plays out in Detroit.
Yeah, it is a really interesting situation there. I do think, you know, they're a team that everyone's been talking about in the Atlantic Division. Say, oh, watch out for Steve Yzerman's Red Wings. I haven't seen that yet, really. I know that they beat the Leafs once, but the Leafs have also beaten them quite handily this year and made them look like a team that's not ready to make that push to the playoffs. So I think we'll see it, but I don't think it's this year. And I think that's why they're trying to really figure out what they want to do going forward. Are they going to build around Larkin? Or do they look to build around their younger guys and make Larkin kind of help them bring in some other pieces that they need? I think goaltending is going to be the number one thing that's going to hold that team back going forward.
Yes, well, time will tell. And every Wednesday we cover the Eastern Conference right here on Locked On NHL. Thank you for making us your first listen. We are 2 weeks away from the NHL trade deadline. And here at Locked On NHL, we make sure that you're covered whenever your team makes a trade. And the team that you traded with, it's always fun to listen to their local experts break down the trade from that perspective. I always get a kick out of that. And that's why the Locked On NHL channel is so unique. We'll have it on our YouTube page. So go there as soon as a trade goes down, bang, we'll hop in the booth, 10 minutes, record, get our immediate reactions right out to you. It's the road to the trade deadline in the NHL happening on March 3rd. And it's brought to you on the Locked On NHL channel. So make sure you're subscribed to all of our local experts and their channels and Locked On NHL as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are legitimately depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. Full stop. And guess what? There's a new flavor ready. It's delicious. Indulgent. It's cookie dough covered in chocolate. Let me introduce you to my favorite. They have light and chewy textures, real cookie dough chunks, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. 160 calories, 15 grams of protein. So run, don't walk, to built.com and grab a box for you and the family. What's great about Built is that all their bars are made from collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently. Tons of health benefits involved. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at built.com. Locked On NHL for Wednesday, February 15th. I'm Ross Levitan. You can go find my work daily at Locked On Senators. I'm with David Morisuti from Locked On Maple Leafs. David, we haven't had a chance to talk since the last time Matt Murray put on his hockey pads in a game.
I knew you. I was waiting for this moment for when you were going to bring up Matt Murray.
I always have to make sure that we cover the big stories on a Wednesday Locked On NHL, but how can you have the two hosts of teams within the division and not discuss whether it's the most recent game against each other or something that forever connects these two teams, much like the Dion Phaneuf trade, the Matt Murray trade will live on forever.
Yeah, it certainly will. I mean, the Leafs did get a third round pick out of it. So I don't think that whatever they decide to do with Matt Murray, we'll always have that third round pick and we'll see how that always turns out.
Will you though? Cause what are you doing if you're the Leafs at the trade deadline? Like what's in play for you? If the Leafs are going hunting, whether it's a Travis Konechny or I know that Patrick Kane's playing in Toronto, so the media is making a whole spiel. That's a complex attempted trade, but in any situation, what are you comfortable parting with as a Leafs fan?
See, Matthew Nyes' name has been the big one in Toronto. And it's funny, he's doing the media rounds right now as well. So we're hearing a lot about him and where he kind of sees himself after college. And that's a big question mark there is, will he even leave college? I think he wanted to go back to kind of work on some things this year and get himself that much more prepared to make the jump to professional hockey.
And they're number one in the country right now.
Yeah, like that team should be in the pretty much the final four and, or the frozen four, I should call it. Yep. I think if you're trading a Matthew Nyes, you have to be getting a no doubt player that's going to not only help you this year, but past this year, right? You're not trading a Matthew Nyes for rental. I like that approach because I think too many teams, look at the Florida Panthers, how many prospects and how many players did they trade for that run last year for it to all flame out? And now they got no assets, right? And they have nothing to really help them in this year's trade deadline. So if you're the Leafs, like if you're trading Matthew Nyes, it's got to be for something that's going to help you now and down the road as well, because you got to keep this window open. I think the first round pick will be in play if it's again in the right type of move. It could be for a rental, but it could also be like a Mark Giordano situation where you get a guy, but it's also someone that's open to an extension and you can work on that before you make the deal. I know that Gavrikov's name has come up. I think that might be a little too rich in terms of what he's looking for in his next contract. So yeah, I've heard Rasmus Sandin's name could be involved if they decide they want to go for a bigger name, and maybe Rasmus Sandin is the name you want to move off of. The Leafs do have some options here, but when it comes to their best asset, it is Matthew Nyes. It's just a matter of how much do you really, are you ready to make that deal now, or do you want to see where he is leaning towards potentially near the end of the year? It's tough because the trade deadline is a couple weeks away. He's not really thinking about that right now.
And which player have you circled as a rental, or if Matthew Nyes is involved, a player who can help you for years to come? Is there a guy who you're looking at around the league, maybe on a team that isn't doing well and saying, I want him wearing blue and white?
Well, we were talking about Jacob Chychrun before all the thing, before the whole, he was being scratched for trade related reasons. And then we go to find out that the Leafs aren't among the front runners. So that was my first point to say, if you're getting a Jacob Chychrun back, I would be okay with that. Timo Meier is the other name that's come up. I like Timo Meier. I think he would be a nice fit in this top six. I'm just concerned about what he would want in his next contract. Elliot Friedman kind of brought up the idea, okay, let's say the Leafs do get Timo Meier. Let's say he does very well for the Leafs. Do they consider trading somebody else and giving him a long-term deal?
He's right? A great player.
He is a good, like, that's the type, because people are like, oh, I don't want to trade a Matthew Nyes. He's a great prospect. Like, if you're getting Timo Meier, you're going to forget about Matthew Nyes, especially if he's going to be going to San Jose.
Quick. You're going to forget about him quick.
Exactly. So that's the type of player I think the Leafs need to really, they got to be better than Boston and Tampa. They can't, I still think these marginal moves aren't going to be enough. They really need to do what they can to put themselves over the top. And now that doesn't mean going all in and screwing up the cap situation for years to come. I like the Leafs are going to be smart about it, but I do think that these smaller deals that they've made in the past aren't going to cut it anymore.
Very interesting. Is there a player that you hope doesn't go to Tampa or Boston?
Well, I hope Chychrun doesn't end up with Boston, but I don't think they have the assets either to get that done after they did the Sammy Vatanen trade last year.
Hampus Lindholm. I did
that before on the Locked On Leafs podcast as well. Yes, Hampus Lindholm. Like, I don't want to see the Bruins get him, but I don't think that's going to happen at this stage. I think Columbus is a name that I've heard for Chychrun as well.
Weird, right?
Weird, but kind of makes sense in terms of they feel like this is just a bad year and they can kind of fix things in the off season. But
and he's 24. People forget.
Yeah, exactly. So
he's been in the NHL for like five. He went in at 18, I think.
He went almost halfway through his junior year. Like, he didn't really. They wasted no time with him because he was picked later. But people thought that was like a steal.
Of course. People had him like top five. Ottawa drafted 12th. They traded up to 11. I was like, oh, they're taking Chychrun. He's from Ottawa. They ended up taking Logan Brown. Oops. Oops.
I remember that now.
Bunch of skill. They were actually their offseason training buddies, him and Chychrun. But Chychrun ended up, 16th. I remember clear as day. Or was it 18? Because I think McAvoy might have gone 16 and 2016.
He was 16th. I think McAvoy might have been. It was a very, like, 2016 was a very good draft. Obviously, headlined by Austin Matthews.
Chychrun 16, McAvoy 14.
Ottawa could have had McAvoy as well.
Yeah, imagine that. We're looking for a top right shot defenseman. Have been for years.
There are a lot of opportunities for that. I think when you're looking at the Bruins are set on adding on the blue line, and that's like they have a pretty their blue line is not bad, but if they can improve on that, that's just going to make them an even tougher team to go up against. So yeah, and for Tampa, like, I don't even know what Tampa exactly could be looking to do. I haven't really heard their name in terms of like targets and trade rumors. That makes me a little worried.
They're always up to something down there. Yeah. In Tampa, trying to cook up a fourth finals appearance, right? Consecutively?
Yep.
Fourth. Win loss? Wow. That's super impressive in the cap era. David, appreciate you joining me. What's going on the rest of the week at Locked On Leafs?
Oh, we're just going to, you know, watch some guy named Patrick Kane, see what he does against the Leafs, and kind of continue to look at all that, and then prepare for some original six matchup with the Canadiens. Try to see if we can actually win a game against the Canadiens this season. One of the few teams that have had the Leafs number both times that they played them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't relate. Sens are 3-0 against Montreal and 1-1 against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We got to wait till mid-March though for the rematch, man. That sucks.
I know. It's a weird, the schedule is so weird because the Leafs come back, they play it back to back. Then they're off until the Wednesday. And now they play the Wednesday game. Then they're off. Then they have a back-to-back again. The schedule is really, really screwy right now when it comes to Leafs. But there are no shortage of rumors out there.
Well, this is the time for rumors. Thank you for listening on Locked On NHL. Local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back tomorrow with Power Rankings. Adam Denker and Chris Michelli will get you all carried away with Power Rankings. You're on the Locked On NHL channel. Thank you for making us your first listen. If you like the show, please hit the thumbs up and leave a comment as well. Maybe something you'd like to see next week. But for the meantime, head over and make another Locked On NHL show your second listen. Go check out Locked On Leafs, Locked On Senators, or any of our great hosts, local experts on the biggest stories. We'll talk tomorrow. This has been the Locked On NHL podcast, your team every day.